I wouldn't trade the opportunity that we have to worship the Lord for anything. It's just such a blessing and such a privilege. Two or more gather together in His name, and He just comes amongst us, and He welcomes our worship, and He welcomes our praise. I was thinking last week as I walked over to church, I thought, what a blessing, what a privilege it is that as I walk over to church, I know every one of the people's cars. I can tell who's inside. It'd be a little tough if you had 30,000 people. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything, I'm just saying that, it's a blessing, and I don't take it lightly. Recognizing the things that God does is part of living up, living above. Recognizing His authority and His power. Wednesday night we prayed for rain. We prayed for a cover on Bob and Levon's building, but we prayed for rain. Levon said it's a little tough for her to pray for rain, so we prayed for that. And we joined people around the state, and Rapid City was kind of where the call came to pray for rain, and they got a bunch of rain. They were posting about their rain. I said it must be headed east, and so it's still heading east, But the rain of the Lord, the presence of God, is always, always available. A lot of it involves us just taking the umbrella down and letting the rain hit us. I remember when we were out in Oregon and it rained 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 until it kept raining, and you just did everything that you would do normally in the rain. We'd go for walks in the rain. I'd go for runs in the rain, sometimes it would open up and just downpour, but mostly it was just wet all the time. And I guess I don't remember too much, but I'm not even positive that very many people there bother with umbrellas. They're just used to the rain, just crazy, And I think that we, as Christians, would do well to get used to the rain of the Spirit, to get in it whenever we can, to desire for it, to just look for it. The other amazing thing to me about when we were in Oregon is that when it quit raining and the sun came out, we were driving through the mountains, and I stopped and I got out and I stood on the side of the road. I said, this is impossible. How could it possibly? In South Dakota, if it rains that much, there's no side of the road you're going to get out and stand on. You're going to sink in it, unless it's pavement, of course. But it was, the sun came out and it dried out. And I think that there's a picture there of you stand in the rain of the Spirit and the Son of God gives you good firm ground to stand on. And as we come to understand those things, we come to understand the idea of living up. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14, he tells us that he says, the Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised, and that He has purchased us to be His own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify Him. He's given us a guarantee. And so what we have then as Christians is the opportunity to live up into that guarantee. Now, He doesn't call us to live up to anything without giving us plenty to live with to that thing. We have everything that we need. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee. And so when we talk about living up, in Philippians, I think that it's the verse says the Message Bible, it says, let's live up to what God has done in us. Now that's not a condemnation for not living to that place. It's saying, look, you've got this. It's like you've got keys to the car, get in and drive it. You've got all of these things. Let's live up to it. You know, we're not living up to something that we're not empowered to live in. And so we're not earning anything. It's all by grace. But when we know something, this last week, a guy asked me if I would talk on the Facebook Lives about how you know when you're free. And, you know, well, we know we're free because Jesus said so. But how do we know when we are free? It's when we're living up to what he said we are. It's when we say, wait a minute, the Bible says this, I'm going to walk in it. Jesus said, this is the way, walk ye in it. Just walk in it. It's not a thing of, you're not living up to it. It's a, let's live up to it. Let's go. Come on, everybody. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. I read a letter in an email about that in a church service in Texas that they were, I think it was the second service at this place, whatever the case might be, but anyway, and they were doing worship and they were at the point in worship where, you know, the time slot said it's time for worship to end, and the guy that was playing the guitar also plays with a band, and he hit the wrong button on his guitar. On his little sender thing. And when he hit it, instead of hitting something that went into the nice finishing up of worship, it went into like electric rock. And he said he doesn't know what happened to him, but he just couldn't stop himself. And he began to do what they call shredding. And he was just playing like crazy. And I mean, they just had something. They said that there were people healed. There were people delivered. He said that the worship leader looked at him, didn't know what to do. The drummer just went with it, and they were going, and all of a sudden the mosh pit was coming, and the people were praising, and they were shouting, and it, you know, and I was hoping that somebody, you know, I thought I was going to get to watch a video of it, but apparently everybody was so overwhelmed, nobody even got out their film from it. But you know, the thing was is that they responded. The Spirit of God landed in a electric guitar shredding. And the people responded to it. It's responding to God. It's just responding to God. You know, I have no doubt that in any and every circumstance that there's something within us that just wants to shout, praise God! You know? And the best thing we can do is let it rip. Because he gave us this promise. He did it so we would praise and glorify him. And he's praised and he's glorified in our living up, our living above, in our being victorious. He's praised and he's glorified in that. I just, you know, I'm so thankful when I look at my children, you know, and I told Shiloh last night, we were on the phone, I said, you know, it's such a blessing to look and see my children doing well and in fact better if you looked at society type things than I do. You know, I want them to stretch a little to the spiritual part, but they do well, and that's, as parents, you want your children to do well. And you do everything you can to enable them to do well. You don't want to enable them to do not well, because that happens too. But you do everything to lift them up, and God said that he'll be a father to us. So what is God doing? God's doing everything to lift us up. To in Philippians, another translation says, hold fast to the things that we have. Holding on to the things that we have is living up and living above, because we have these treasures in earthen vessels. Last week at Jayla, I was talking the Sundays of the girl pods, and I started talking about something, and I began to be reminded of something, and that was that, you know, when, and I've said this before, when I met Vicky, I somehow knew I found everything I needed, and I didn't think it had anything to do with God. And I treasured her, and I with hesitation said, you better go to Alaska, hoping she would come back from Alaska. And I can remember, I don't necessarily remember, I might even be able to remember what she was wearing the first night I met her, but I remember what she was wearing when she came off the plane. And I was excited to see her. And I can remember the look on her face when she came off plane. Man, she was doing the Vicky strut to get to me. And it was just it was a glorious thing, you know. And it was something that I had. And I would do well to keep that in my memory, so that then I would act as thrilled when she, all the time, as she does when she gets off the plane. I fall down at that. I don't do, but this morning, for some reason, when God reminded me of that, it was sort of like he was saying, you need to live up to this, Roger. You need to be able to live above all those other things, because there's a lot of other things that come at us. There's a lot of reasons to shake our heads and roll our eyes at each other, isn't there? You know? But I'll guarantee you, Vicky can tell you that when she got off that plane, I wasn't in the thing going, oh, what have I done? Oh, no, what have I done? You know, oh, man, I'm in trouble now. I've bit off more than I can chew. I wasn't doing that, was I? No. Come to Papa. You know, it was a glorious thing, you know, and that's the way I should always be. And I should be with God that way. He is above all things. We sing a song that says, Lord, you are above all things. He's above all things. And who's he lifting up? Us. And so we can live up, and we can live above, and we can live beyond. And one key to us coming to that is coming to the understanding that this life is not all there is. Really, it is not all there is. Really. It's not. Abraham was looking for a city whose maker and builder was God. Now we look at that and we say, oh yeah, well, okay, that's a nice statement. Yes, I want to go to heaven too. But you see, there's something about when we come, and I'm hoping that I'm getting there to the understanding that there is something bigger than what we have right now. And when we come to that, then what we have, it isn't saying there is anything wrong with having it right now. You know, Abraham was blessed, man, camels, money, everything. Lived in a tent his whole life. I'm not going to ask Vicky to move into a tent. I think that would stretch her faith a bit. I'm not a big tent dweller myself. But the thing is that what we have is not the most important. I believe that if necessary, we could live in a tent. No, Jennifer says, no. Okay. There I am. I'm speaking above where we are. But the truth is that we could, you know. Think of those people that were wealthy, successful people that live in refugee camps. I don't want to do that. I don't want to bring glory to God there. I don't want to. But I'd like to believe that I could. I don't look for struggles, but I would like to live above them when they come. And we've had places in our lives that looked like and were struggle type things that I've experienced the Lord giving such aboveness to them that never noticed the struggle they were until looking back, thinking about not having such struggles, and God reminded me, well, you did have this. Oh, yeah. But you made it good. And it's amazing to have to look back at that and say, wow, you did that. So if you did that, you can do this. To live up to and above. That's what God offers us. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. So that we could. it's not just that a few can, it's that everybody should. And as we seek the Lord and we come to those things and we realize that yes, He challenges us, but the challenge is not a you better do better, it's a look what I have for you. Look what I've got for you. You know? It's getting closer. And when we recognize that our accomplishments, the accomplishments come, you know, through God. Yesterday when I stopped to talk to Bob, Bob said, we got this much of the roof done, we got this more left to do. And when it's done, what a good thing. I remember when I was putting the siding on the house, I kept thinking, with each rung of the ladder, okay, am I going to do this all the way, or am I going to get the tractor and have Vicki raise me up? And then it became a thing of, I can just do it off the ladder. And then as I'm going up to put the last couple pieces in, I'm thinking, do I really want to do this off the ladder? And then I'm at the last piece, and I'm on my tiptoes on the ladder, and I'm putting in the last piece, and it's not going in, and I'm thinking, maybe I don't want to do it on the ladder. I'm holding on to the ladder, reaching up, reaching back. Finally, it goes in. That's good. I came back down. I took a picture. Yeah. But you know, I mean, it's knowing that it's by the grace of God. You know, now if I'd have fallen off of that, somebody would have said, "Well, you're too stupid. You should have asked God." You know, I said, "Well, you know, I guess I wasn't asking God if I should. I was praying to God that I could." And those are minimal things. Those are things that are no big deal, but they are a big deal because in all things we can give glory and praise to God. And if we learn to give glory and praise to God, recognize, hey, wait, that's God in the small things, then when the greater things come, you know, we have a, wait a minute, I'm living up. I'm going to live up. I'm going to live it above. Because He's above all things and I'm with Him. This is not everything. He said in this life, anybody who looks forward to the next life, in this life will receive 100-fold, but in the end, eternal life. How great is eternity? Well, I don't know how great it's going to be, but I do know it's going to be longer than here. It is going to be longer. Even when I knew nothing, that was the one mathematical thing that I figured out, that even if I lived to be 100, it just was a small fraction to compare to how long the world had been. And for some reason, I had this sense that there was going to be longer. It just took a long time for me to be very concerned about what the longer was going to be. And even at the beginning of getting into the longer that was going to be, I was so thrilled with the transformation of living, and I didn't know it was above. I didn't know any Christianese. I didn't know anything, but life just felt better. It felt so better that, I mean, I said, I don't know if I can make it to heaven, but my goodness, my life now will be so much better. It'll be worth it. Just if now. Wow, was I excited when I found out that heaven was with Jesus. And that God would figure out the end of it. But still, I'm amazed at life now. Oh, hey. Everything isn't always great. Everything isn't always perfect, you know? Sometimes you step out your front door and you see traffic going very, very slow, and you think you know why. Yes, mother's in the highway going slower and slower and slower, and the cars are lining up, and finally she makes the flip over to the other side. Thank God there wasn't a semi that decided to take the trip around, you know? Would have been a quick end, but it wouldn't have been a great way to start Sunday services. But so what? Live above it. You know, it's like the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that too is a small thing. You know, if you really start comparing the comparison, you really start to think about God and everything else, you have to really, really stretch to find something that could possibly be beyond God. People are busy imagining the worst of everything. You know? The news, they're imagining the worst of everything. And how terrible things are. And unfortunately, some Christians get caught in that too. Of man, oh man, things are just terrible and this and that and the other thing. But if we would think about it, the Lord's above all things. He is. And so we can rejoice in the Lord. We can take joy. We can take pleasure because that's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. So that we could live up, so that we could live above, so that we could pull others up. If you watch those, I can't remember the names of the races now, but those people that race in the mud and they're chasing around and they're trying to get up and they, what are Spartan races. And the last part is always the terrible wall, and they're in mud, and they're trying to get everybody up over the wall. And the first thing to do is to get one person over the wall, and then the one person up above on the wall is trying to help pull the people up, and they climb up on top of everybody, you know. But they get that one person up, and boy, that really gives them a good deal as long as the guy on the bottom can hold it. Well, Jesus is our foundation. He can hold it. But ultimately, they're all over, they splash down in the water, they carry the thing, they're beat, they're a mess, they're tired, they're everything, but they've won. Sometimes we might be a little beat, and we might be a little tired, and we might be a little mess, but we've already won. We've already won. When we understand that this isn't all, this is just now. And Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have life abundant. He came so that we could feel abundantly above and beyond no matter where we were. Corrie Ten Boom was more than a conqueror in the concentration camp. Because her sister kept telling her, "Oh, Corrie, there's more. There's more." And for us, when we come to that place where we agree with what we know, how do you know when you're really free? It's when you walk in that freedom, when you walk in that liberty. When you allow the truth to become more than a rumor and it becomes the fact. I've heard about that. Well, let's go see. And then it becomes a place of, I know it's true. Because God said, if I abide in Him and His Word abides in me, then I'll know the truth and the truth will make me free. So it's the truth that makes me free. So it's me agreeing with the truth. For every year that I've been at the jail, I use this all the time. Every time I do it, somebody picks up even more of it. And that is with the fact that when you get out of here and you come over to Highmore and you come to my house, I will make you coffee. Or if you don't like coffee, whatever it is, if you will just come, if you will just show up, you can't drive by on 14 and say, "Roger lives there." You can't drive by on 47 and say, "I should stop by." You can't park in front of the house and think, "I should go in," and then drive by. You're going to have to come. You're going to have to walk up to the house. You're going to have to knock on the door. And when I invite you in, you are going to have to walk in. And when I set a cup of coffee in front of you, you'll have to drink it or you'll never know how good it is. It's just that simple, and that's just how simple life in the kingdom of God is. "I have made you these promises," God says. "Are my promises more important to you than anything else in the world?" Are they better than anything? Are they more attractive to you than anything else? Is everything else just down here and I'm up here? Because when everything else is just down there and you're looking to me up here, I make all things better down there. And all we have to do is take it. Just take it. Yesterday, Jerry and I, we picked up Jerry. Jerry and I stopped to get gas. I said, Jerry, do you want something? Yeah, he wanted something. I said, well, what do you want? Just go ahead and shop. And I came out of the restroom, and I said, what do you want? He pointed at a bag of potato chips, and he said, or, and he walked up, and there was a pizza. Well, for me, that's a pretty easy choice. Get him the pizza. So we get the pizza. We get in the car. He says, so do you want any? I said, well, why don't you eat what you can, and then if there's anything left, I'll have it. He said, if you don't take it now, this is going to be gone. I said, then go for it, grandson. And he was absolutely right. It was gone. He'd have been hungry if I'd have had any of it. I didn't need any of it. But he stood there when he said what he wanted. I said, well, take it. If he wouldn't have taken it out, I wouldn't have got to pay for it. Came and stood at the counter. I said, you're going to have to set it on the counter so he can see what you got. We set it on the counter. If he wouldn't have picked it up to bring it out, I'd have probably picked it up because I wouldn't have wanted to leave it for somebody else maybe, you know. But I mean, you know, it's just very simple. Take advantage of the opportunity. I said, is that going to last you till we get home? He said, it'll be close. And that was the truth. We got home. I told Vicky, he had a dinner ready for him, you know, grandma mode, full power, you know. And I said, well, we had a pizza to Smith. A pizza to Smith? I could just tell Smith, like, he wasn't going to eat anything. Oh, he said, no problem. No problem. My boy can eat, so that's good for him. And when we understand that God has simply stated, it's for you. I'm for you. And in me, you are above all things. But he doesn't really have that place until we give him that place in our lives. The truth is the truth, but we have to step into it for it to take effect in our lives. And it's just a choice. It's just a choice. That's all it is. We can say, well, that's easier said than done, and we can agree, well, maybe it is, but on the other hand, it's an easy choice. But it's only the easy choice when we recognize that this is just this. It's okay. But this is life. This is eternity. And this is just preparation for eternity. The higher we live here really isn't going to change how much better it is there. But what it does change is the realization when we get there of what we missed here. Because we were holding on to things that held us down instead of grabbing the hand of the one who pulls us up. That realization is living up, is living above, is living beyond what we could ever hope or imagine, and it puts us in a place to pull up others. It puts us in a place to bring them to victory. Father, that's what we want. We want to live up. We want to live in all that you've promised. We want to rise above. Grant us deeper understanding. and just the determination. Make that choice, because once we make it, we got it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Just a footnote to that, because God just showed me this picture. You know, when I first started riding motorcycles, I watched this YouTube video on motorcycle cops and how they could just turn around in the road. And they told you how to just turn around in the road. You know, you just turn around in the road. You just look and you turn around in the road. They never looked ahead. They never looked to the side. When they would turn, they would just turn around in the road, you know. And man alive, I wasn't a, you know, it's like I could figure out what would happen if I just tried to do that. Just because I was, at the time, you know, making those U-turns. You know how they are, John, when you use all of one approach and you end up over on the other approach and you're just glad when you're finally going back straight again, you know. And it's like, oh, but as time has gone on, one thing I figured out is that motorcycle, unlike a bicycle, will not turn sharper than it can turn. I can lay it all the way over, it'll go there, but oh man, to make that total turnaround, you know. But this year, that's just what I'm doing. I just roll on the road, I look around, turn that thing around. I'm so glad every time I just turn that thing around. Now, I don't do this at 50 miles an hour. I do this slowly, but I can actually do it. And this is the way it is oftentimes in our walk with God. It seems hard. But when we just do it, we just do it. Amen? Yep. Yep. Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Where you're looking. Hallelujah.